Hi, everybody. My name is Melissa Campanelli, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration. Welcome to today's live Retail Online Integration webinar, How to Engage Customers Across Channels, sponsored by Bronto. Engage customers, buyers and shoppers who connect with your brand wherever they are the holy grail for retailers today. They're the customers who interact with your brand on social networks, mobile devices, and subscribe to your email programs. To learn more about connecting with your customers wherever they are, this webinar today will offer you some tips for acquiring those engaged customers, methods to keep them engaged, how to increase sales as they shop cross channels, and so much more. We also have two great speakers to guide us through this knowledge today. Deborah Ellis, founder of the multi-channel marketing consultancy, Wilson Ellis Consulting, and Kevin Skursky, the Director of Marketing Communications at Bronto Software. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips about how to make the most of today's live event. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions during the end of the hour. You can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets and bells and whistles on the console. And speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. Without any further delay, here's our first speaker, Deborah Ellis. Take it away, Deborah.
Thank you, Melissa. I'd like to mention that the hashtag and my Twitter handle are on the slides if you want to share the information with your community. This topic is my favorite topic of all because doing it well will improve sales and profits better than any other tactic that you do. The problem is that it requires the integration of departments, divisions, and systems, and that's often contrary to most business models' compensation structure. People won't work together if doing so has the potential to reduce their income. You have to always review the compensation structure before launching an integration strategy. The other thing is there are so many different systems, platforms, channels, that it's almost overwhelming to think about. But it's not that hard to do. It's really a simple process. You've just got to get started, be strategic, and do it well as you move along. I want to do a brief overview of multi-channel marketing versus cross-channel marketing. There's a definite difference between the two. The terms are often used interchangeably. I'm bad for doing that too. But multi-channel marketing is marketing that's done on a variety of channels. They may or may not be connected. Cross-channel is an integrated approach that encourages people to engage with the company or brand on any channel at their convenience, as in the customer/prospect's convenience, not the company's. Cross-channel marketing done well is consistent throughout, from the original message to the service. Wherever you go, you're going to get the same quality, the same message consistently. Multi-channel marketing began with catalogs and stores. It was a siloed strategy where success was independent by channel. Today, your success is totally dependent on how those channels work together. As I mentioned, consistency is the key to succeeding in a world where there are tens of thousands of channels and platforms to connect with customers and prospects. Too many marketing messages are like this image where it's simply a bunch of noise being shouted at consumers. Breaking through that noise requires that you differentiate your brand from the others. The only way you can do that now is through your relationship with individual customers. It's the only way, because products have become commodities. It doesn't matter what you sell. A competitor is going to most likely offer it cheaper, better, and faster. So you have to have that relationship with the customer. It all boils down to the trust. There are some rules So let's look at these rules for success before we move into specific tactics that you can apply today. First, you've got to know your customers. You have to know everything about the people who buy your products, from their personal shopping preferences to their social activity. The Internet has changed how people behave. When we were just doing catalogs or just doing stores, you had people's email, well, not necessarily email addresses, but you had their addresses, you had their contact information. And when you went out looking for prospects, you could target it because you wanted the people that looked like the people you already have. But because of the Internet, customers find you instead of you always finding them, which is a good thing, but it has increased the number of hit-and-run shoppers. These are the people that come, purchase once or twice, leave, never to be heard again, because they only needed your product or service one time. We're seeing consistently in companies that are very active online, 30 to 50% rate of hit-and-run shoppers with new acquisitions. You've got to recognize those early on in the system, in the process, because if you don't, then you're going to invest a lot of money and market into them without a return. You also want to capture your social network and handle so you know where to invest your resources for the best return. You've got to know this information, because if you don't know where your customers are and how to reach them, there is absolutely no way you can engage them. Second rule is you have to know your team. People are motivated by different things and have different skill sets. Optimizing the effectiveness of your team members requires an understanding of what moves them, the best training and tools available, and a compensation program that rewards the behaviors that maximizes your sales and profitabilities. Rule number three, you have to know your systems. Every system that you have right now, today, is underutilized. I guarantee it. There are features and benefits that you can access within that system that you are not using because your team hasn't invested the time and effort required to use all of the functionality. It's just standard operating procedure. But what happens is systems end up being scrapped that would have worked with a minimal investment. And you can also find that connecting legacy systems with creative strategies is almost more effective, is often more effective than scrapping it. And you can also connect your legacy systems with your new technology that's coming in. So what you have to do is a clear assessment and learn how everything functions, the new systems you're thinking about using and the existing systems you have, so that you can put a hybrid together that's going to work best for your company and your customers. Rule four, apply your knowledge to make everything and everyone work together. There's an old axiom that says knowledge is power, but it's not true, because knowledge without application is useless. You know it, but if you're not using it, it will not promote your business. Rule number five, test and measure everything to ensure a return on your investment. Direct marketers are the best equipped for success in this new marketing world. I get quite frustrated at times because they're often the last to dip their toes into the new things. They're hesitant. Maybe that comes from the habits of testing all these years. But we already know how to test, and we know how to squeeze every penny out of a sale, and we know what engages people. I mean, after all, we're the ones that started doing the scratch-off for discounts and these tools that we used and tactics to get people engaged. Now we need to start using these skills online to maximize the performance. There are so many channels and platforms available. How do you know where to start? That's the question that I get asked most of all. Where is the best place to invest their resources? You have to start with where you are. And I don't mean to be shallow or trite when I say that, but you can't go out there and create this super-duper strategy that's going to work for you and going to bring all of these pieces in together and then look back and say, okay, now here's where we are. How do we get there? You need to start with where you are, what's working, what's not, and then you build from there. In the starting points that I've listed here, there's social media, email marketing, direct mail, mobile, and loyalty programs. I put social media first because most people are interested in that. I don't have that many people that come running up to me at conferences that says, tell me about how to get into the catalog business, because they are interested in the new and shiny medium out there, which is social media. It's the problem with social media is that it's very labor-intensive and requires the other channels to generate revenue. So you have to get your house in order in all the other places before you can successfully implement a social media initiative. Some things you can do simultaneously, but you want to be able to fulfill all of your promises before you make them. Because if you don't, then everyone will know about it. Now, but don't be afraid of that. People get afraid and they say, I don't want to be on social media because people are going to say bad things about my company. Well, here's a news flash. They probably already are if there's things, bad things to be said about your company. Second news flash has the attention span of about 30 seconds. Unless you do something, well, even if you do something major, people are going to forget about it in a few minutes, a few days, maybe a couple of weeks, but ultimately it's going to go away. So, and I'm confident you have everything else in order. So let's go ahead and jump in with the starting point. First, you have to, if you aren't already participating in social marketing, look for your competitors. Where are they most active? What are they doing? Are their customers engaged, or is their community just filled with browsers? There's been a trend in the social media world to acquire as many fans and followers as you can so that you can market to them, and so they're going to magically start buying all of this stuff. But the problem is it's a low threshold for entry, which means the only thing that somebody has to do to get into your community is to click like or to click follow, and then they're in your community. And probably with most of the tools that they have out there using, they're never going to see your tweets or your posts on down the road. You've got to have a community of people who are customers, are prospects most likely to convert. Acquiring the fans and followers simply for the sake of having bragging rights will not create cash flow. You have to engage your customers and measure the results so that you know what works and what doesn't. Now, I'm confident that everyone out there has heard it's all about the conversation. Please notice that there's a question mark here. This is some results from Appline. It's a retail company. They have social media presence. They have an e-commerce presence. They have retail stores, about 50 to 70. And then they have a catalog with database of about 750,000 customers. So they went in and they were, for 12 months, they actively participated on Facebook. They talked to anybody that would talk to them. They posted on a regular basis. They looked for great content to share. They blogged. They followed all of the social media rules, and I'm doing the little quotation mark. And then they, and after the course of about 12 months, they had a little over 3,000 followers. So then they said, listen, this isn't working. And I'm kind of like, yeah, really? You got to talk to your customers. You always, always, always start with your customers. So they created an integrated marketing strategy that included their retail store promotions, their catalogs, and their emails. They offered incentives that drive revenue to the people that like them on Facebook. And this is what happened. In the course of about 7 months, they went from a little more than 3,000 followers to over 50,000. They have sales that are directly attributable to things they're posting on Facebook. In the previous 12 months, that never happened. Not one sale. Not one dollar. Not really any customer acquisitions or prospect acquisitions that you could look at and say, yeah, this came from what we were doing on social. So the question is, how do you do this? And I have a few examples to share with you of people that are using email to connect their social and their email marketing. This is Build-A-Bear. They did a great job because they do a couple of things here that I really like. One is they tie revenue with liking. When you like them, then you get a coupon code. Now, one thing I don't particularly like, in order to get that coupon code, you land on this page and bam, there's the code. What they're not doing is they're not acquiring email addresses. While these emails are going to their customers and they already have the addresses, if their customers are sharing them with their friends, they're losing that opportunity. Use your Facebook page to get the emails, because the emails move you from a posting and a conversation online for everybody to see to a personal contact point with a customer or a prospect. They also have already a fan, which is a separate tab that allows people that are already fans to have access to the coupons. So they're not treating people that are not fans better than their customers who are fans. An alternative one that they did is $10 off. It's a Facebook fan exclusive, and it's for, again, has both become a fan or already a fan. It's fun. It's cheerful. It fits with their brand. It's a consistent message of what you're going to see anytime you go to Build-A-Bear, look at any of their promotions, go to their website. Dick's Sporting Good encouraged people to, they use the direct message functionality within Twitter to send a code to people that followed them on Twitter. This, again, tied to revenue, easily to track so you can measure the results, doesn't capture the email address, but the functionality within Twitter doesn't allow you to do that so well. But then later down, it's a couple of months later, they did the winter scavenger hunt, which is, it has to be one of my favorite emails, because in order to get the code, you had to start out by becoming a fan on Facebook. You got part one of the code. Then you followed them on Twitter. You got part two of the code. Then you sent a text, so they acquired your mobile connection, part three of the code, and then the fourth part was they got to use the code for a discount. So it's fun. You get to do it. It's engaging. It's like a multi-scratch-off where you're going to see exactly what you won, and it allows them to acquire the mobile number. Would have been a little better if they captured the email address along the line, because they got a lot of mileage in PR out of this. Timberland has a little different approach. It's connect. I still have it under connecting social with email. It's engaging the customers, but it has absolutely nothing to do with the social platform. It's what this is it's custom boots where you get to call the shots, and it was tied into basketball season. And so it looks, you have the red marks, looks like a play. Each one of those red marks is clickable, and it takes you to the page where you can design a custom boot. So it's fun. It's engaging. It pulls the customers in because, I mean, how can you resist? If you aren't doing email marketing, I'm presuming most of you are, but if you're not, you're missing one of the best opportunities to engage your customers and cross the channels. You can use it to drive sales and activity on all of your channels and platforms. If you are using it, you're probably not mailing your customers enough. you're not connecting with them enough. You're not giving them the opportunity to connect back with you. It's more of a blast thing. And the reason that I'm putting you in this category, and if you don't fit in this category, please forgive me, is because that's what I see consistently out there, is email marketing is low-hanging fruit, so people do not do their due diligence so that they can move it to the next level where they're actually building the relationship with the customers. There's a huge difference between personalized versus personal. Personalized is this whole insert your name here so that, you know, it's easy marketing, and yes, it has the illusion, the things that we did back in direct marketing where it looked like it was a handwritten note and that kind of thing, and it does get sales. No two ways about it. But personal gets better sales. And personal, you go in and you incorporate the knowledge you've acquired to speak directly to individual customers and prospects. Email address acquisition is one of your top goals for your social media activity. Right now, Facebook is the best place to do this because you can trade a coupon for a like and capture the email address while you do it. And so you want to do that as much as you possibly can to acquire those, and then you need a marketing strategy where you're using the trigger mails, the transactional emails, and the autoresponder emails so that you're keeping these people engaged. Customers die from neglect. Your email marketing is one of the most economical ways to stay in touch with them and keep them active. I won't spend much time on direct mail because I'm confident that most of you are already doing this very well, but I would caution you against becoming complacent and stopping the testing process. It's one of the best ways to grow. Testing is one of the best ways to grow your business without shooting yourself in the foot. You want to also use your direct mail to engage your customers. The same client that I showed the growth from has now rolled this strategy out where they're including information, not just follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook commentary. It is, get a special discount by going to this, by liking us or by going to this page. So they're starting to get more and more people joining in with that. You want to look at this and say, how can we get everybody working together? And don't get overwhelmed by, well, this system doesn't talk to that system. Because one of the things that you can do is you can pull the data out of one system, test it, and if you find that's going to work and you're going to do it on an ongoing basis, then you can figure out how to make the systems work together or whether you need to look for a new system. Mobile. Mobile marketing is one of the fastest growing areas. People are using it on a regular basis, and it gives you direct access. You have to pay a price to get that access because people are hesitant about giving out their telephone numbers. A recent experience I had about a new laptop and happened to be an HP, and right now at the point of sale was QR code that gave me a discount. So I said, okay, I'll give my phone number to a lot of people because I want to see how are they marketing, what are they doing. Well, HP put a price on my, and anybody does, that gives you a discount. They put a price on acquisition of your mobile number. Their price was $5. $1,000 laptop, it wasn't a good value. It wasn't a good trade for me. So I actually felt a little bummed about it. So you want to make sure that you are not creating an environment where you're in the acquisition of the opt-ins that you're alienating customers. Crocs did a great job with the acquiring of the opt-ins. They, everywhere I walked into one of their stores, and people were standing around. They were having a big sale, and they had a discount if you text the number in, and you could see people there texting. And I was like, wow, this is really working, and I joined in. So I sent the text. I got the discount. Fabulous. 2 months later, I got a little promotion from them. Another month later, I got a little promotion from them. It's been 18 months now since the last contact from Crocs. Either they lost my number because I did not opt out, or they just are not paying attention to the program. You have to have people engaged and active. They will forget about you. Remember, customers die from negligence. When you're getting these customers and you're getting them active, you want them to be sure that they are crossing channels. Encourage them to move from point A to point B, not necessarily because the people that cross channels are the most valuable, which they may or may not be, depending on your business, but because the more they're engaged with you, the more you are on top of mind. So you're going to beat out your competitors. And then, of course, as always, measure those results. In loyalty programs, whether you do a loyalty program or not depends on a lot of things. Coca-Cola has a great loyalty program, and if you haven't looked at it, you might look at partnering with them. It's a very economical way to get your brand in front of 18 million people. They have 18 million people participating in that and in the My Coke Rewards. And they've set up the program really well. It's one thing that fascinates me about it is most of the giveaways are provided by their partners, but they make it easy for their partners because there's minimal cost for their partners. So when you partner with a company that is not a direct competitor, then both of you win. But if you're creating a loyalty program, you want to reward the behavior that you want people to do. And if you give them points or discounts or whatever the case may be, whatever you're giving them, and if you take them away later on, you know, they have an expiration date, really not a big deal. But if they earn, see the difference, give, earn, if they earn those points and you take them away, it alienates them. So you've got to look at what's going to motivate your customers. This goes back to knowing your people. You've got to look at your risk versus return, and you've got to include a partner strategy in there. One of the best ways when you're doing this is to create flexible programs because things are going to change. 2 years ago, Google Plus did not exist. Right now, it's the fastest growing social media platform out there. 10 years ago, well, maybe not that long, I guess 8 years ago, MySpace was the up-and-comer. Now it's lost its relevance except for music people. These things are going to change. They need to be flexible. So you can use coupons, reward points, cash back, the partners. You can do auctions and special promotions and events. All of these things are part of the program that test them, do what works, and then roll them out. Do not try to do this all at once. I see so many companies that are out there, and they're trying to establish their presence everywhere. And what happens is they do none of it well. You've got to know where your customers are and what motivates them. Participation has to be easy. A study that was done last June, revealed that people preferred easy. They preferred easy to anything else. They didn't care about whether you offered over-the-top service. All they cared about was how easy it was. They didn't care as much about price. So in order to make participation easy, you need to have integrated databases. In the cases that you don't have integrated databases, you need to have your team that can access those databases. I call it SneakerNet, because if your database cannot automatically connect with each other, then you be the connection. You move from point A to point B. Add pre-populated codes whenever possible so that the codes don't have to be entered and you don't get the how is this working. Make the codes as simple as possible. Avoid using ones and zeros because they're mixed up with L's and O's. Timely notifications. If you have, if customer has a coupon that's about to expire, send them a notification. Send them a reminder. If they have points that are about to expire, same thing. Detailed information. You can put all the information you want on the Internet. Make those frequently asked questions work for you. Put those questions there because people prefer self-service, too. Who would have thought? I would have thought you'd like to have other people do it for you. But I find that, you know, it's a lot easier, especially with the telephone banks, to just go online, take care of it myself. That saves you money. Make it easy for them to shop with you. Make it easy for them to find the answer to their questions. Use your email marketing to do as much of that as possible and link everything back to your website because you have to have a hub. You want a hub where you want your customers to be. There's a lot of talk about what hub should you use, and that's usually followed by should it be Facebook, should it be Twitter. Your hub is your website because that's where you make money, and that's what you always have to be focused on because the purpose of business is to serve customers at a profit. If you're not doing that, you're not going to be in business very long. Make so they have easy access to their data and to sharing it. Encourage them to share the information, the email, forward, what the online activity. Encourage it to share with their community as much as you possibly can because the more they share, the more access you're going to have to people that are in your target market because when you start with your customer, most likely their friends and family members will become customers too. Each of the different channels have strengths, and what you want to do is you want to leverage those strengths to help each other. Social media is a conversation channel. It's where you can let your hair down a little. Don't let it down too much, but you can let your hair down a little, and you can talk about what's coming up. You can talk about the strategy for acquiring new products. When I say strategy, tell the story. I don't mean this is what we do, point one, point two, point three. For those of you who remember Jay Peterman, when the original catalog came out, it was the story that sold the stuff. This allows you to tell the story. The stores allow you to have that face-to-face with your customers. Don't try to make it an online experience. Make it a one-to-one experience for the customers who want that one-to-one, but provide kiosks within your store so they can have the online experience if you don't have the products. Because if they walk out the door without buying, it's a loss. If they walk out the door with a bag or an online order, it's a win. Always look at it that way. In the mobile, when you send the mobile messages, you've got to have it so the people that, whether it's going online, it has to be easy for them to go online and use the codes. If you're offering discounts, you have to make sure that the people know how to use it within your store. Going back to the HP example, when I got up to check out, I show them my phone and I say, I have this code. And the girl looked completely lost. She had no idea how to enter it. So we ended up having to get the manager up there, and I invested a lot more than $5 in my time for using this code, which is not going to keep your customers opting in. The things that you'll discover along the way is your lifetime value is going to change. It already has changed. If you're not watching it, then you don't know this, but your lifetime value has changed. Different customers have a different value. I don't mean on an individual basis. I mean on different types. You're going to see that you have the hit-and-run customers. They have a very low lifetime value, so you don't want to invest a lot of money in them. You have discount customers, which can have a high lifetime value if you market to them appropriately. Then you have the customers that just kind of fit into your active customer base that's more like the traditional direct marketing customers that are going to follow a traditional path for lifetime value. This acquisition source has a huge effect on lifetime value. So you need to know this, and when I say need to know this, I mean close to the penny, or at least to the dollar, because that tells you how much you can invest in the different channels so that you can get these customers on a profitable level. There's a direct relationship between acquisition of customers and fulfillment of products. The better that you do your fulfillment, the more customers you're going to acquire. It is so easy for people to share information online now that says, just place this order, receive this item, isn't this great? And that's the free advertising that you're going to get. Make sure that your customer care house is in order, because that is the only thing that differentiates you from the competition. The ways that you can increase your lifetime value is, same as always, increasing your average order, reducing the cost, increasing your orders per customer, and increasing the lifespan. Going through and doing that all goes back to how well you engage these customers. Because when customers are looking forward to hearing from you, no matter the platform or the channel, then they're paying attention to what you're doing. So focus conscientiously on trying to do these things so that you can, so that you can increase that lifetime value and ultimately drive your revenue and your profitability. Here are some pitfalls to avoid. Lack of planning. Jumping in and setting up a social media site with all the cool bells and whistles without any idea of what content you're going to put here, or the path. Most importantly, you need the path from the fanning or the following or the circling to the order. What is your path? Lay out your path. This is what you expect them to do. If you find they're doing things differently, maybe you need to alter that, but have a plan. Second pitfall, inaccurate data. The information that you have has to be accurate. Most of the information that is coming out of the social media platforms is not accurate. They just don't do a good job with the metrics yet. They're working on it. They're getting better, but make sure that the information that you have and I'm using to make this decision is accurate. Having too much information is often worse than having too little, because when you have too much information, you get overwhelmed and you get so caught up in, well, which number do I look at? And I don't know whether to do this. And you get, they call it analysis paralysis, and you don't want to go there. Use the information that matters. Find what matters and then build off of that a little at a time. It's better to start with a few knowns and add to it than to start with everything and try to decipher what's important. Inconsistent implementation will derail you faster than anything. It goes back to the Crocs program. They started it, they had a plan, but then they just stopped for whatever reason. I know it gets boring doing the same marketing over and over, and you want to change things up, and you want to move into new areas, and you want to do all of these other things. But just because you're bored with it or your marketing team is bored with it doesn't mean that your customers are bored with it. The time to move on to new things is when your customers are ready. Let them be the drivers. Diminishing returns is just a fact. It's going to happen. So monitor your numbers. Measure everything well. And as you see that the return is diminishing from the different activities, change your activities. Don't continue to do something a year, 2 years, a month even, after it stops working. And the final pitfall is listening to the experts. And there's quotation marks there, and I include myself in this because there are things I know. I test consistently my team. We're constantly testing, analyzing, looking at things, and we can say, this is most likely to work for you. But every company has an individual corporate culture, and what will work for your company may or may not work for another company. Don't listen to us. Test what you're doing. Make sure that it's working. Let us help you if you need help, but make sure that if you're following an expert, that the expert actually has some business experience too, because there's a lot of them out there that doesn't. And I know that's a lot to cover in a short period of time, but I'd like to thank you for your time and
great.
Pass it back to Melissa.
Yes, great. Thank you so much, Deborah. That was excellent. Got some great information. Folks are asking for the presentation to download and stuff, so excellent. And we have some questions, but we'll hold them until our next presenter is finished, and that is Kevin Skirsky from Bronto, and he is here to say a few words as well about driving revenue with cross-channel marketing. Take it away.
Thank you, Melissa. Some great information, tips, and examples, Deborah, so thank you for that. We've been talking a lot today about how to make effective use of marketing channels like mobile and social to both reach consumers in new ways and also to improve the results of your email marketing programs, which you're probably already doing. At Bronto, we like to talk about an idea called engaged commerce, which is a lifecycle marketing approach for keeping close ties with your buyers and your shoppers. It's targeted remarketing that keeps people closely connected to your brand. And it's about moving from a message into a relationship. And this really goes hand in hand with cross-channel marketing, because if you're not engaging with people in more than one place, you don't really have a complete picture, and the dialogue is also going to be incomplete. So as Deborah explained today, retail marketers are challenged these days in finding the right ways to reach their audience and to also build bridges between the channels where people are already engaged with you and those where they're not. She gave that great example from Dick's Sporting Goods, where they ran the scavenger hunt campaign that attempted to connect Facebook fans and Twitter followers and mobile numbers and email addresses all together. So that's what I'm referring to when I'm talking about building bridges. So, like Deborah also pointed out, companies that try to jump in with all the important new channels all at once usually don't do it very well. Most marketers now know that they need to communicate with their audience through more than just email. But despite what you might believe to be the case, at this point, most marketers aren't yet executing integrated cross-channel marketing. Sure, there are some exceptions out there, which we read about in the marketing media or in case studies. But in a survey done last fall by the e-tailing group, readiness to actually execute on cross-channel marketing plans was self-assessed by a group of about 200 retailers at a level 6 out of 10. So that was just readiness to execute cross-channel marketing. That wasn't even talking about 6 out of 10 are already doing it. So if you're not there yet, you're far from being alone. The benefits are clear, and the good news is that it's achievable even without an unlimited budget. By following a crawl, walk, run approach to the challenge, retailers and other commerce-focused marketers can better understand consumer behavior, determine ideal cross-channel marketing strategies that are going to drive results. And further, a small steps approach like this allows you to roll out a plan that suits your brand image while enabling you to adapt to the constantly evolving behaviors of the digitally advanced shoppers that we are all trying to reach today. So using different channels to communicate won't do much for you if you're not thinking about how it helps you acquire customers, connect with them, learn more about their interests and preferences, and convert online activity into revenue. Instead, it just becomes an exercise in blasting out the same messages through more channels. So it's not about the channel. It's about focusing on knowing your customers and on the content. And the right channel is then going to become more clear as you build out your content and your strategies. So certain types of messages and content are more effective when delivered via different channels. So the channel then becomes part of the relevance equation. So, for example, a new hot product availability, best via SMS. Abandoned cart, probably best with an email. A flash sale might be also best with SMS. A birthday greeting might be best with Twitter. New products overview, probably an email, or a shipping confirmation. Some people might prefer to receive that via SMS. So those are some examples of the message really determining the channel. So what we're really talking about is lifecycle marketing, which is knowing your customers, listening to find out what matters to them, and then communicating with them at the right time with the right message, and then delivering that message via the right channel. To do this and do it in a way that integrates the different channels and doesn't just treat them in silos, you need tools that are capable of handling this, and that's our world here at Bronto. We have a marketing platform for online and multi-channel retailers to drive revenue through email, mobile, and social campaigns. And so for our clients, the emphasis is really on the driving revenue part. It's not about messaging through multiple channels for the sake of doing so, or because you think you should be using social or mobile, or because your boss says you should. It's about connecting with your shoppers and buyers in a way that makes what you have to say more relevant to them and in a way that makes sense to them already. You're trying to create the path of least resistance, and this leads you to send certain types of messages via different channels. To pull off lifecycle marketing effectively, incorporating not only email but probably mobile and social too for a large number of people requires one of two things. You either need a small army of assistants, or you need a platform that lets you analyze, that lets you integrate a lot of different data into one system. I think another thing that Deborah mentioned, analyze this data, use information about preferences and interests and behaviors, and then create highly personal messages and set up automation, letting these relevant cross-channel campaigns automatically execute based on triggers. So that's all I have. I would encourage you to visit bronto.com/resources for white papers, articles, and a white paper in particular that's relevant to our presentation today is taking a crawl, walk, run approach to cross-channel marketing. So I would recommend that. We think it's a realistic way to approach this challenge and opportunity of integrating multiple marketing channels. So thank you for letting me spend a few minutes on this topic with you all today. And I'm going to turn it back over to Melissa now to get us started with a little Q&A.
Sure, great. Thank you so much, Kevin. Also, some great information there. So we do have some questions, which I'm going to start asking. Most of them are directed to Deborah, but I encourage you for the next, 5 to 7 minutes to please send in some questions because we're ready for them. So let's see, Deborah. There's a few questions, obviously, about your presentation, but there was a few around the stuff that you discussed about Facebook. One of our listeners was wondering, you had mentioned extracting emails from your Facebook fans, which is kind of interesting. Can you talk a little bit about how you go about doing that?
Well, the way you do it is when they like it, it goes to a landing page, and the landing page, you offer a discount or whatever you're making the offer, and for them to get access to the code, it goes to a landing page where they enter their email information. Same rules apply. You don't want to ask for their life history. You just want to capture maybe their name and their email address so that you can personalize the email to them. And then when they submit it, then an automated email goes out to them with the coupon code or whatever it is that you are offering. That is done via an app. If you have in-house programmers, they can probably do it, but there's a couple of providers out there that have apps, and if somebody wants to shoot me an email, I'll be happy to provide them with some recommendations.
Great. Okay. That's great. That makes a lot of sense, and I've heard some good results from doing that kind of acquisition. Another question about Facebook. What would you suggest for a company that has fragmented their social media program in terms of, using social media to communicate with customers? I guess the listener only does Facebook, and I guess other folks in his company do other social media. So he's asking if these should be run by a collaborative team.
Yes, Absolutely, and your customer care team has to be a part of that team. In fact, my recommendation is that marketing handles the marketing side of it and customer care handles the customer care side. What happens is social media is a real-time, you have a little window of opportunity to respond back to people, but people really do expect answers and answers quickly. Marketers do not know customer care answers, not their job. They shouldn't know that. If they're investing their time in learning all the customer care information, they're not doing their marketing well. So if you have the customer care team handling the responses, the where is my order, does this product match that product, does it, you know, those types of questions should be handled by customer care, whereas the postings and the promotions handled by marketing. And if you have a situation where somebody is, well, Facebook's my thing and nobody else is going to be involved with it, then they really do need their attitude adjusted or possibly another place to work.
Okay, great. Let's see, there was some other questions about some of the email advice that you had given. How do you feel about, sending abandoned cart reminder emails, I guess sort of like trigger emails or?
Well, if you're not doing it, you're leaving a lot of money on the table because people go in and they put things in their cart and they forget about it. And then when you send the reminder emails, you're going to convert that into a sale. And that should be, it takes time to get it planned right, to get it automated, but invest the time in getting it planned and automated and then just check on it periodically to make sure it's still working. And, of course, measure the conversion rate. You'll be surprised at how well it works.
Mm-hmm. I would second that. You actually took the words right out of my mouth that you're leaving money on the table if you're not doing it. And there's a surprisingly high percentage of retailers that aren't yet doing abandoned cart emails. And I think one of the reasons might be because some people are maybe a little bit reluctant. They feel like it's a little big brother-ish to say, hey, I know what you left in your shopping cart. Why don't you come back and buy it? But I think buyers are becoming more used to it, and there are ways you can do it where it's going to be seem a little bit more personal. And we have some really good examples among customers of ours who have had enormous success with it by not only including that item that was abandoned, but also maybe a personalized recommendation in that abandoned cart mail as well. And that makes it even more powerful. And so they're driving results that are, you know, 4 or 5x over a typical promotional email that they might do. So I would say absolutely look into doing abandoned cart emails.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd like to add to that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions, you know, customers or people say, well, I don't like pop-ups, I don't like this, I don't like that, and especially if you spend any time at all on the social media platforms, you'll see direct marketers being drawn and quartered by the social media elite. But the reality of it is, don't pay attention to what people say, pay attention to what people do. Their actions speak louder than words. Your mother told you that years ago, and she was right.
Okay. Let's go back to social media. I thought this was kind of an interesting question, too. How do you build a Facebook page that forces the like button for the coupon code? Is that another app kind of a situation, like collecting the email address, or does it need a program, or?
It needs programming, but there is an app out there, and and it's free. I mean, you can actually do that for free. You can't capture email information and that type of thing. And, again, I'm happy to share that information offline. But the thing about it is it just takes time to set it up, and you can actually do it yourself if you have the code in. But having the apps, especially the apps that partner with Facebook, and I want to caution you on that. That kind of takes me down a rabbit hole. But there are a lot of tools out there that allow you to post directly to Facebook or Twitter, that type of thing. Posting directly to Twitter is not a problem pretty much with any tool that you use. But with Facebook's new newsline, and the timeline, what they do, if you're not using one of their preferred partners, then they're burying your posts. Your mm-hmm. customers, are, your followers, fans are not seeing them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you want to add anything to that, Kevin, or?
No, no.
Okay,
I don't
want to just keep. Okay, another listener. We did talk a lot about retail products, physical retail products like shoes, sporting goods, coffee. Do you have any examples, though, of, because there might be some listeners on the phone in this area, that of effective programs to support things like services or apps or even B2B. Software, or you know, do a lot of your ideas work, you know, sort of cross the threshold of the different types of businesses?
Most of them do cross the threshold. The real difference for, not much difference for services and products, but B2B versus B2C, you can invest a lot of money on the social media sites without getting any engagement simply because your customers are not there. It's. I had a client a couple of years ago that was very, very aggressive with their social media strategy and just was never able to get any traction. And when we ran the numbers with their customers as to who was active, they only had 1% of their customers were actually active in social media sites. The email marketing stuff works, period. It doesn't matter what type of business that you have. You have to people long for that connection. I mean, they're starved for somebody to recognize that they are an individual, and email marketing allows you to do that.
Great. So you really sort of feel that email is probably the best way to go in general if you're going to start one of these programs?
I would always start with, if you have your direct mail and your marketing, you know, the direct mail part in place already, I would always start with email.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I can't say mobile's a solid second, but it's moving right up there. Then the social part is something you add when you have these other things in place and working well.
Mm-hmm. Actually, before we close here, one of our listeners wanted you to give a little history about your company, and I apologize. Perhaps I should have given a little bit more of an opening bio. I just wanted to make sure the time was good. You know, have enough time. So, could you please kind of just briefly tell us a little bit about your company?
I am a direct marketer, born and bred. I started with Finvesi Associates designing warehouses for catalog companies fresh out of college in New York City, and then I left there and started my own consultancy that specialized, moved beyond just the customer care side into the marketing side. Then was enticed by Helen Weeks at Ballard Designs to come down there and help them grow their company. In 3 years, we had phenomenal growth. We went from a small company to a mid-sized company. And then when I left, I started Wilson & Ellis Consulting, partnering with my husband, and we specialize in integrated growth strategies. We make everything work together better.
Mm-hmm.
And it always goes back to the fundamentals of direct marketing. Know what you're doing. Know your customers. Test everything and make money.
Okay, great. Excellent. Well, I think that's probably about all we have time for. I just want to reiterate that we will for sure, Deborah will for sure answer any questions that were not answered after the fact. So we have, you know, we'll be able to get those to her and she'll respond to you via email. But before we end today, I just want to say thank you all so much for listening to this presentation. I think it was a great presentation. And on behalf of Retail Online Integration and Bronto, our sponsor, I want to thank you for attending today's webinar. So be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. So I hope to see you at the next Retail Online Integration webinar. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.